And our next guest has a very unusual background. Her name is Paula Williams Madison. She grew up in Harlem, was raised by a half-Chinese, half-Jamaican mother. Her father was Jamaican but was absent for much of her childhood. She ended up attending Vassar College, became an executive at NBC Universal. But in 2011, she walked away from that job to find her family, starting with her Chinese grandfather, Samuel Lowe. Her new book is called Finding Samuel Lowe, China, Jamaica, Harlem. Paula Williams Madison, welcome to Here and Now. And why did you decide to look into your family's ancestry?
Well, I think like many kids growing up in the United States whose parents come from somewhere else, you do have some questions about how did they get here? Why did they get here? Why did they even leave where they came from? And in my case, and in my brother's case, we grew up in Harlem. We look like African Americans, which we are. But our mother looked Chinese, and she was half Chinese. Our parents spoke with a Jamaican accent, and we just looked like a family that was just a little bit out of sorts. And it was particularly apparent whenever our mother would come outside. If she came outside onto the stoop and called us in to eat dinner, kids who knew us would just go along playing. But for people who weren't really that familiar with us, you could see their world stop. They would kind of look at us like, what is that? Who? What? And for me, the knowing that my mother just didn't seem to fit made me ask her questions about why did she look and why did she not and all the above. And she spoke with great heartache about having been separated from her father when she was 3 years old.
Well, did you feel like you didn't fit? Or what did you identify as?
Well, I identified as I appeared, black, as African American. What was really interesting was I didn't realize at the time how my mother was affirming my own identity, because as a little black girl growing up in Harlem, whose mother was Chinese looking and whose hair was below her waist, my mother would identify with her children. So if you asked my mother, "So what are you?" My mother would say, "I'm Jamaican." If you probed a little more and said, "No, no, no, so what are you?" In the era when we were colored, she'd say colored. When we were Negro, she'd say Negro. Hmm. When we were black, she said black. But if you probed one more time and said, no, but my mother would say, "Well, my father was Chinese." And of course, she said it in a heavy, heavy Jamaican accent, which just added to the mystery and, I guess, the exoticism of who is this woman and how come she has black children?
Well, and it must have been confusing as well to have these two parents that you have of different cultures. Sometimes in this book, it seems like they hated each other. I mean, your mother has stabbed your father many times.
Not once, but twice.
Right,
oh,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
Two different occasions. Sure. Well, you know, here's the thing. My father was born to black parents. And at that time, the colonialist system almost required that if you were black-skinned and you wanted to improve your station in life, you would need to mix the racial composition of your family so that you were not so African. Now, my mother had the skin coloring, my mother had the racial composition, my mother had the straight hair, and my father came from a background where his family had money, but his beginnings were not so proper. And so I think that for both of them, this was a marriage of convenience. But personality-wise and in terms of their love for each other, as far as I can recollect, it was non-existent.
And what did that mean for you growing up there? And what was your childhood like?
We came from a combination of people who in one generation had gone from having some money and some means to another generation of coming to the United States. My mother's dream was, you can come to the United States and you'll be rich. And so my mother's intent for her children was, I came here for you to be rich, and nothing short of great wealth will satisfy me. You will either be rich or I will kill you. People refer to this as, you know, these as tiger moms. And it was funny because I always thought of my mother as a lioness. She would defend us. She would protect us. There was not a lot of hugging and cuddling. And that's kind of how we were raised.
Well, and the interesting thing is that you say you identify as African American. But when given the choice between whether to live with your father or your mother, you chose your mother. And yet you don't look like her. So you can't identify as what, half Chinese?
Well, here's the thing. My father lived in Springfield Gardens, Queens, which was at that time almost 100% white. And we lived in Harlem, which in our neighborhood, it was all black. So we felt more in step in Harlem than we did in Queens. And plus, by the time we left our apartment and reached my father's home in Queens, an hour and a half had elapsed. We just did not want to be there. There's a point where I talk about in the book how my husband, who's African-American and from New Orleans, asked me, Paula, when you find these Chinese people in your family, you know, what do you want? I couldn't figure out what he was asking me. And after he came at me a few times, he just paused and said, Paula, do you know you're black? And when I went to my two older brothers and said, you know, Roosevelt asked me this, and I think he's trying to protect me from the possibility that what if they reject us because we're black? And I asked my brothers, did you ever think of that? And both of them, no. Then we had to sit and figure out why we three children who grew up the way we grew up and who are very racially aware and who absolutely identify with black, how come we didn't think of that? And then I said, oh, but the face of the woman who loved us, it was a Chinese face. Huh. So it never dawned on us that Chinese people would not want us because our mother certainly did.
Do you find that today, because of this unique heritage, that you're closer to your brothers than to anyone else?
Oh, I've always been closer to my brothers. I don't think anybody would understand our experience more than my brothers. And I think I was supposed to unite this family of mine, you know, this 3,000-year-old family that goes back 151 generations, and we were separated from our Chinese family, and now today we're united with them. And I think that break that happened in our lineage and where my grandfather and my mother lost each other, I think that I was meant to figure out how to bring this family together.
Why? Why do you think that?
As a little girl, and I know this is going to sound really crazy, but as a little girl, I would sit in Edgecombe Park in Harlem. My eyes would be closed, and I'd let the sun beat on my eyelids, and I would look at my eyelids from the inside, and I would see red. And whenever I did that, I felt that I could hear my grandfather. Hmm. And I would ask, where did you go? Why did you leave? And the refrain that always came to me was, just look for me. You'll find me. I did. And from the time I connected with my ancestral people, the Chinese people, the Hakka people, I met some of them at a conference in June of 2012 in Toronto. And when I met them, it was the very first time in my entire life I had ever said to a group of people, in some instances to individuals, that I'm also Chinese, that they didn't laugh. Usually people would laugh almost hysterically.
But this time you found your people.
I did. I found them. So within 6 weeks, I was sitting in China, in Shenzhen, China, with my 86-year-old uncle and my 94-year-old aunt, my mother's siblings. And when we went back 4 months later, 20 of us who are black Chinese, my brothers and our families, we went back, and 300 of my grandfather's direct descendants gathered to welcome us into the family. And the family legacy book, which in Chinese is called the Chukpu, literate Chinese always kept history books of their families. My family's book was intact. And I asked, now that you all know that my mother existed and that she was your sister, could you please put her in the Chukpu? And it was like, well, you know, women are sort of parenthetical to the story of the family history. And I just was so unhappy with that answer. But thank God and thank my ancestors that when we did return 4 months later in December, they had actually corrected our family's Chukpu. And so my mother is in it and my mother's offspring. And so in our family history now, the 153 generations of Lo's are listed, and the Chukpu now includes another line of us who are black and Chinese.
Paula Williams Madison. The book is called Finding Samuel Lo, China, Jamaica, Harlem. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful to you.